join us once more for a whirl round Whitehall with Norma Ronald, Ronald Batterley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. In the General Assistance Office, a small band of experts stand by to help any ministry that's overloaded. Normally, life runs to a steady pattern, but once in a while, Secretary Mildred Murfin gets a surprise.
Oh, you're in early, Mr. Lamb. It's only 10:30.
I know, Mildred, but there's a lot to be done.
What? You mean you're actually working? Oh, won't you be having your usual nap before 11:00?
No. I'll have to see how it goes. We're assisting customs and excise, you know.
Oh, I say.
We're helping them collect value-added tax, you know, VAT.
How that? Do you know, I've never understood what that's all about.
That makes 50 million of us. But we've got to have it to reduce unemployment.
Is that what it's for? I thought it was to put up the cost of living.
Well, that too, of course, but fighting unemployment's the main thing. VAT needs an awful lot of people to run it, and if we didn't have it, they'd all be out of work.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Morning, Joe. Morning, Mildred.
Morning, sir. Yes.
Sorry I'm a little on the late side. Had some trouble with my back this morning.
Trouble with your back?
Yes, couldn't seem to get it off the mattress. Yes, I dropped into the stores on the way up and collected this VAT calculator, as issued to VAT inspectors.
Ah, that should be useful. I suppose you use these knobs to set the figures.
That's right, and that disc is for storing information.
And what's the big spark on the end for?
That's for poking people who won't pay up.
I've been answering these VAT queries from the public one.
Ah, well done.
Lady says, I forgot to deduct 8% from my profits for VAT, so I'll be in trouble when the taxman calls. For £6,000, what should I take off?
What did you reply?
I said, take everything off and hope for the best.
I see.
I'll bet go and bring in your 11s.
I want to finish this VAT job so I can start my article for the staff magazine.
Oh, not again, too. I thought you gave up when the editor rejected your last piece. It was rather rude, wasn't he?
Well, he did say he had to rewrite it before they could throw it away.
Yes, that was it.
But he added a very helpful P.S. He said if I sent him any more of my stuff, he'd tell me what I could do with it. Anyway, I've hit on a subject that's sure to interest him.
Oh, really? What's that?
I'm going to write a history of this ministry building. It was started in the reign of Henry IV, Part One, you know.
Really? Not Norman?
No, Henry. I've asked the people in archives to let me have any historical documents they can find.
Ah, well, I suppose it can't do any harm. But remember, now remember, we must make a success of this VAT job.
Yes.
We don't want Sir Gregory getting cross again.
Oh, I don't think there's any way to stop him. Sooner or later, he'll poke his ghastly face round the door and say,
I want a word with you, Tom.
That's exactly what the ugly old brute will say.
Two.
Oh, dear. It is the ugly old brute.
What?
Not you, Sir Gregory.
Be quiet, man, and listen. Yes. This new VAT handbook you've had printed.
Ah, yes, sir.
There's a footnote printed on the cover.
Oh, quite so, sir, yes. As I recall, it says VAT inspectors must always be consulted before 6:00.
We wanted people to know the office hours.
Indeed. Well, look at this misprint. Your cover, in fact, states VAT inspectors must always be consulted before 6:00.
Oh, dear, that's rather unfortunate.
On the other hand, it could be a new source of revenue.
Oh, silence, Lamb. This is a monumental blunder. There's a public outcry, questions in the House, letters in the press, and 6 more film stars have gone to live in Switzerland. Well, now, let me tell you this. One more slip-up, and I'll have you touring the North Sea oil rigs without a boat.
Thank you, sir.
Right. Well, no fear, Sir Gregory. We have things well in hand. We're about to start collecting unpaid VAT.
And not before time. Unpaid debts and taxes are bringing this country to its knees.
Well, at least he didn't chuck anything at us this time.
And stop talking about me behind my back.
No, sir. Yes, sir. Please don't throw your pen at me again, Sir Gregory. You broke the nib last time.
Ah!
Oh, and you've done it this time, too.
Are all these old documents documents yours, Mr. Lamb?
They're on loan to me, yes. Those two chaps from archives brought them up.
They look really ancient, don't they? All yellow and crumbling.
And the documents are pretty old, too. Some go back 300 years.
And you're using them for your article?
That's right, Mildred. This one shows there was a general assistance department here in 1675.
What, you mean just like ours?
There, do you see?
Yeah, this old writing in off strange. The Office of General Assistance and Fundry Doings.
Yes, you see, an S was very often an F in those days. It's all historical.
Cool. With one or two words, it could get hysterical.
Listen to this. The office is administered by one Derek Fitzderrick, a tardy fellow these winter mornings.
Oh, I say. Oh, and look here. He hath with him Master Richard Lambkin, a naughty knave who doth fritter his time on silly writing.
They are affifted by the wench Mildred, who doth bring them every hour a great quaffing of tea, which doth pleaf them mightily.
Yeah, I wonder if they had a boss like Sir Gregory Pitkin in them days.
Well, there's a reference here to a Squire Gregory Pigskin, who doth make malcontent and discord, and doth hurl infults and quill pens at Master Richard.
Fancy. What sort of work did they do?
According to this scroll, they were helping customs and excise, collecting taxes, it says, from divers merchants in the city of London.
Well, that's just like you and Mr. Lennox Brown. Oh, they were very thorough, weren't they? Some of these old tax bills are still marked for immediate attention.
Well, are they?
Morning, Tor. Hello, Mildred.
Shut the door, Juan. All my papers are blowing on the floor.
Oh, don't fuss, too. We'll soon pick them up. What are they, anyway? VAT bills? Hello. This one's marked unpaid.
Oh, that bill's 300 years old, sir. Mr. Lamb got it for research.
I don't care how old it is, Mildred. It was sent out by this office and it hasn't been paid.
But there wasn't any value-added tax in those days.
It says here in black and white VAT. It's due from a London brewery.
Oh, wait a minute. That must be the brewery VAT tax. I've just read about it in these old documents. Brewers paid a tax on the number of firkins sold.
Well, this brewery still owes us 3 pence. And what are they called? Oh, yes, Mann, Tipples and Greaves.
The firm may not exist now, sir. They may be debunked.
Of course they exist. I've seen their building in Pudding Lane. They make that extra strong beer with the slogan, Ale and Farewell.
But we can't go and bother them just for 3 pence.
We're civil servants, too. It's our duty to bother people. And it's not just 3 pence. With compound interest over the years, it's now a large amount.
How much, I wonder? We'd never be able to work out a sum like that.
Just leave it to me.
Leave it to you, sir? But it took you 4 days to work out the tea money. And then your answer was in square yards.
Now, Mildred, I have this pocket calculator. It's electronic, you see. I just press the right buttons and the answer lights up on this little screen.
Oh, what fun.
Now, this will show us what the brewery owes. Now, then, let's see. 3 pence multiplied by 1,200 divided by 4, say 5%. There we are.
What does it say on the screen, man?
It says, you've made a boo-boo, mate, try again. I knew these calculators were no good.
Well, look, perhaps the accounts department could work it out for us.
Yes, good idea. Give them something to do. Then we'll call on these people and collect what they owe.
I'll give the brewery a ring. We'd better arrange to see their managing director.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Tipples. I said you wanted to see me.
There's 2 ministry men coming to the brewery on behalf of customs and excise.
2 ministry men? Making trouble, I suppose. I said trouble, I suppose.
Aye, like as not. I hope the accounts are in order.
Oh, yes, yes. I balanced the books at the end of the month. I said I balanced the books at the end of the month.
I don't care if you balance the books at the end of your nose. As long as we don't owe any tax.
Well, I assure you, everything's in order, Mr. Tipples. I said everything...
All right, lad. Don't stand there fingering your ledger. It sounds like they're here. You'd best show them in.
Oh, right. This way, gents. I said this way, gents.
Good afternoon. I'm Lennox Brown, General Assistance Department. This is my junior colleague here, Mrs. Lamb.
How do you do?
The worse for seeing you. What's all this about?
Mr. Tibbles, recent investigations have revealed that your firm owes the government money.
It's a lie. Good day to you.
Good day, Mr. Tibbles. It's been
nice. Deck two. Back here at once. Now, Mr. Tibbles, I have the document with me, and it clearly states that this brewery owes the ministry 3 pence.
3 pence? By yuck, it's an insult. I've a good mind to give you a mouthful of knuckle.
Keep calm, Mr. Tipples. Remember your blood.
Oh, wish you round, Greaves. No, wait. You can help for once. Go and look up our records. Check if we do owe them 3 pence.
Well, what year does this refer to? I say, what year?
1675.
You what? I thought he said 1675. I thought he said 1675.
He did. I don't know if this is some sort of joke, but by heck, we're going to sort it out. And then I'll sort them out. Go and look up the files for 1675.
Right, Mr. Tipples. I said...
You realize, of course, that when I said the debt was 3 pence, I was referring to the original sum 300 years ago.
Allowing for compound interest, our accounts department tells us it's now £210.
But, of course, we're inclined to be generous. We'll knock off the £10.
Oh, you pinstripe parasites. Not better to do than dig up tax debts from 300 years back. By heck, you'll have to be dug up in a minute. I'll hammer you both into the ground.
Mr. Dibble. I'm beginning to detect a hint of hostility in your manner.
Well, here we are, then. I found the file for 1675. I said I found
the file. All right. All right, Greaves. Did we pay the VAT tax or not?
No, we didn't.
We didn't?
There you are. You do owe us money.
No, we didn't pay tax because it wasn't due. We didn't get paid for the beer.
What? What do you mean, someone owes us money?
Yes. I said yes.
Well, who?
Well, according to our 1675 file, this threepence was due on beer sold to a London office. See, it says, beer supplied to the office, I said office, of general appearance for their annual Christmas party. They never settled our bill.
Oh, aye. How much was it?
£200. I said, £200.
General assistance office, that's your lot, isn't it?
Yes, in a way.
So you owe us money.
But we couldn't possibly pay £200.
Who said £200?
He said £200.
£200? 3 centuries ago. Allowing for compound interest, the amount due must now be... pass me my calculator, Greaves.
Here you are, Mr. Tipples.
Thank you now. £200, 300 years, 93 days standard interest and take away that. There's your answer, lit up on the little screen. You see? You now owe us £3.5 million and 43 pence. But we're inclined to be generous. We'll knock off the 3 pence.
Are you sure we should tell Sir Gregory? This £3.5 million debt's the sort of thing that upsets him.
Well, he'll have to be told, too. I mean, it's a ministry debt. It's got to be paid. Sir Gregory should be very pleased we've been so conscientious.
Well, I'll stay near the door in case he's only slightly pleased.
Come.
Oh, good morning, Sir Gregory. May we have a little word with you, sir?
Oh, you haven't come crawling to ask for a rise, have you?
No, Sir Gregory. But now that you mention...
Oh, silence, Lamb. The only rise you'll get will be on the end of my boot.
Thank you, sir.
Well,
you did mention the other day, Sir Gregory, that your outstanding debts should be paid promptly.
It is.
Unpaid debts and taxes, you said, are bringing this country to its knees.
Yes, yes, those were my very words.
Yes, sir. Well, now, we assume that also applies to ministry debts.
Ministry debts? Well, of course, if there were any, which is highly unlikely, I mean, what...
There is one small ministry debt, Sir Gregory, which is somewhat overdue.
More than 6 months?
Yes, a little more than 6 months, sir.
To whom is the money owed?
To a brewery, Sir Gregory. Man, Tipples and Greaves.
I see. No, I suppose they sent us liquor for the office party last Christmas.
Not exactly last Christmas, though.
No, well, we'd better pay them and have done with it. Now, where's the treasury checkbook? Ah, here we are. Now then, how much do we owe them?
Yes, Sir Gregory, the actual amount may cause you some surprise.
Well, not more than £9, I hope. The Treasury don't like double figures paid out on Friday.
It is actually more than £9, huh?
What? Well, not ten, surely.
We can honestly say not ten. I'm afraid it's a trifle more than that.
Perhaps we should write down the actual figure on a very long piece of paper.
Don't stop all this nonsense. How much do we owe this blasted birdie? I demand to know now.
£3.5 million.
Sir?
£3.5 million?
£3.5 million?
And 43 pence, but we beat them down to 40.
It's an old debt, sir, dating back to 1675. With compound interest, the original sum has grown somewhat.
But knowing your views on debts, we knew you'd want to pay up.
I shall not pay one penny. Not one half penny. And that's final.
They threatened drastic action if we didn't pay, Sir Gregory.
The only drastic action will come from me, Lamb. I'm going to take you both to that door and kick you up the passage.
Before you do that, sir, I'd like to point out that my junior colleague is right. We could face a court action, sir. I mean, Mr. Tipples says he'll sue us.
And he looks a real sewer.
Court action? Don't be absurd. They'll never take this to court.
Silence in court. Silence in court. Be upstanding in the case of Mann, Tipples and Greaves Brewers Limited versus the office of General of Fiftons, now known as the General Assistance Department, Whitehall. His Honour presiding, Mr. Justice Luck.
Sir Gregory, you told us they'd never bring this to court.
Well, I may have said that, yes, but this is merely a routine gesture, a formality. They've no chance of squeezing £3.5 million from the government. I know the judge. Oh, Justice Luck, sir, a member of my club.
Oh, good.
Watch this, Lennox Brown. Yes. I'll give the judge a secret Masonic sign, and then we'll be on the winning side.
Oh, how lovely. Yes.
There, I've done it.
He's seen you, Sir Gregory. He's looking at you over the top of his spectacles.
There's a rather stout, florid man making obscene gestures at the bench. I call upon a police officer to remove him from my court. I'll consider his punishment later.
But, my lord!
Be quiet, officer. Eject that hooligan at once. I now call upon the counsel for the plaintiff to outline his client's case.
To eat up your lunch and behave yourself. That waitress has got her eye on you. She doesn't like you building houses with their sugar lumps.
Sorry, man, but I've always had this creative streak.
Yes, well, very well. Now, listen. Now, pay attention. Yes. Now, you'll be called as first witness, listen, this afternoon. Now, you're sure you know what to do?
Oh, of course I do. I know how to behave. I've seen lots of court plays on TV. I can't wait to get into that witness box.
Now, will you please answer my questions as briefly as possible? You are Richard Canterbury Lamb?
I do. I mean, I am.
And you work at the General Assistance Department in Whitehall?
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Well, I work if I have to. When that stout, florid man is bullying me.
I see. Now, will you tell the court in your own words how and when you found this invoice?
Yes. Your worship, your honor, your courtship, I only wish to be understood, to be treated as a human being, with rights, with feelings, with hopes, and with fears. If you tickle me, do I not bleed? It is a far, far better thing I do than ever before in the field of human conflict. As God is my witness, sentence me, and you sentence my generation.
By Jove, too, you really made a fool of yourself. I was so embarrassed I hid my face in my bowler hat.
Well, those two policemen had no right to drag me from the witness box.
You're lucky too many white coats didn't drag you from the court.
I was only trying to be like Margaret Lockwood in that film.
You are not Margaret Lockwood. Even if there is a slight resemblance.
I shall take it up with the Council for Civil Liberties.
Nonsense, too. You've taken enough liberties already. Now, luckily, I'm the next witness. I'll show you how to behave.
Now then, you are Derek Eric Savage Lennox Brown.
I have that honor. And may I be permitted to say, madam, how attractive you look in that very becoming wig and gown.
Will the witness please confine his remarks to the matter in hand?
My pleasure, your honor. And you look extremely smart, too.
You are employed in an executive capacity in the General Assistance Department?
That is true, madam. But may I say that although I am now a senior official of high standing, my career began there in 1940 in a humble position. I well remember the day I commenced work as a civil servant. July the 14th, a Tuesday, if my memory serves me correctly. I should have begun on the Monday, but I had a sore throat. It was, I need hardly add, a different scene from that which we know today. And it was thus that I found a totally new use for ministry forms.
Mr. Lennox Brown, you've now been in the witness box for 3 hours.
My word, doesn't time fly? Well, that brings me then, madam, to my second week in the civil service. I remember well sitting there...
Perhaps this witness had better give his evidence in writing.
You two buffoons ruined everything.
We did our best, Sir Gregory. But that judge was biased. It was jolly unfair barring us from the court.
And fancy fining you £10 for contempt.
Has he announced his decision on our case?
He has, Lamb. We have to pay the brewery.
£3.5 million, eh?
No, Lennox Brown. The judge insisted on allowing for inflation over the last 300 years. We now have to pay 3,000 million.
3,000 million is quite a lot, isn't it?
Still, I mean, if we've got to pay it, that's it. I suppose the government will print extra money.
We'll get no help from the government. The PM's very anti-civil service, ever since we put VAT on shorty raincoats. No, he says this is our debt, and the ministry must find the money.
But how on earth can we raise 3,000 million?
We could have a raffle. Or a coffee morning. Or I could sell my collection of matchbox labels. I've got over a dozen.
No, be quiet, man.
Now, the PM suggested various ways of getting the money. We're to sell some ministry buildings for a start.
Oh, good gracious.
Well, he says desperate cases need desperate remedies. He's determined to make us suffer.
And here is the news read by Edward Cole. The civil service is in grave financial straits, following judgment against them for £3,000 million. The sale of Whitehall buildings continues. The Foreign Office is to become a luxury hotel. And the Home Office will open as a supermarket in the Nosharama chain. Displaced ministry staff are having to work in Hyde Park, most of them under canvas, but some in an old brick building, described by a spokesman as a great convenience. In the remaining offices, many workers have started cottage industries to raise funds. Secretaries are weaving and spinning coarse yarns. Executives are learning basket work, and many government premises are full of crude little baskets.
mind, sir. At least our office hasn't been sold.
Well, hardly surprising, is it? The developers took one look inside and said they wouldn't have it as a gift.
Pity the furniture had to go. It's no fun sitting on these orange boxes.
Here, that reminds me. They're taking the filing cabinets tomorrow. I'd better finish sorting them papers.
Yes, right you are, Mildred, and then you can fetch our elevenses.
Well, I'll do what I can, sir, but there ain't much bread and water left.
There's some crusts in the map cupboard, Mildred. I got them from the ducks in the park.
Bloody-ho, sir. Oh, and there's an old man in the corridor, sir, barefoot and in rags. I think he's gathering firewood. Shall I send him away?
No, you'd better not. That's Sir Gregory.
Do you think he's coming in here, one?
Well, there's no need to be nervous, too. He hasn't the strength to throw anything at you.
Now then, you two.
Come in, Sir Gregory. It's warmer in here. We're burning old files.
I don't care about anything anymore. I'm just a foolish old man.
Oh, now, Sir Gregory, you mustn't say that. Even though it's true.
It's not your fault the ministry is bankrupt, sir.
Here, listen, everyone. Look what I found.
Oh, is it something we can eat, Mildred?
No, sir. Among them old papers are Mr. Lamb's. Look, it's a copy of a letter.
Hmm? It's dated 1675 and addressed to that brewery.
It's a complaint from Richard Lambkin, sir. He says that beer for the party never arrived.
Good grief. Do you see what this means?
They don't owe any tax.
And we don't owe any money.
Because the beer was never delivered.
We're saved.
We don't have to raise 3,000 million.
Everything's all right. Aren't you pleased, Sir Gregory?
Pleased? When you made us suffer all this for nothing, let me get my hands on you.
No, no, no.